Hello, this is Tony Alamo, and this is series 8, is it?
Yes.
Of the drinking of water, and I kept it short. This is only about maybe half of what I'm going to do on this subject. I stopped after the water comes up to the waist or the loins, and I didn't get into the swimming part. That'll be the next one. But this is 8 of a series of possibly 9 or 10. I'm going to be doing even more than that, but let's go ahead and start reading. Father God, first, let me pray. Father God, I pray that in your power, in the way you do things, Lord, touch the minds, the hearts, and souls of people to receive this message into their hearts and apply it to their lives, that they might have immortal life, eternal life, your life. Father, I ask it in the name, the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go ahead.
Our being measured by the Lord.
This is regarding our being measured by the Lord, because the Lord is measuring us. That's his job. He measures, he judges, and go ahead.
To determine how much more of the increase of the flow of life has risen in us.
Okay, read it again.
Our being measured by the Lord to determine how much more of the increase of the flow of life has risen in us.
So he can determine by measuring us how much. Is it up, are we just walking in a trickle of water? Or is the flow up to our ankles? He's measuring. Or is it up to the knees? Or is it to the waist? Or are you walking in dry places like the devils do? The Lord's measuring everybody all the time. And are you slow to hear? And slow to move? Are you a sluggard? The Lord's measuring you. And me as well. Are you eager to, full of zeal, to get God's work done? Or are you just lounging around and pretending to work, and you're not really working at all? You spend most of your time with idle thoughts. I want you to know that the Lord is measuring you to see if the flow of the increase of life, how much is in you, if any. So let's go. Read it back again.
Our being measured by the Lord to determine how much more...
By the Lord himself we're being measured. To determine what?
How much more of the increase of the flow of life has risen in us.
Mm-hmm. Then what?
Ezekiel 47:3 says, quote, "And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters." The waters were to the ankles.
Yeah, and he, the Lord, brought him through the water, because the man that's doing the measuring is the Lord. Okay? This is the man of brass. So he takes you through the waters to see what?
He measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles.
Yeah, because to measure that the water was up to his ankles. Okay, then what?
Measuring means to judge or to test.
Okay. When you measure something, you're judging it. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay, explain. You don't know? Huh? Well, tell me then, if you learned it. Yeah, I've explained it already, so I'll explain it.
When you measure something up, you're determining if it's up to par, or and so you're judging if when you describe when you measure a property, you're getting the measurements because you want to determine if you're going to possess it or not, if it's yours.
Well, if you're measuring, yeah, if you want to possess it or not, because the Lord measures people, and he's trying to determine whether he wants to possess you or reject you. It's like if you go to the grocery store, you measure, don't you? Don't you weigh apples if you're going to buy them?
Yes.
or you judge how many pounds of apples are in there, right?
Right.
That's measuring, weighing something, weighed in the balances. So the Lord is weighing people in the balances, and he said that many shall be found wanting. Amen?
Amen.
So then what?
Anything that is measured by God is judged by God and is tested by God.
Yeah, because you're testing it to see if it's what you want. You examine it, right? If this apple has got like wormholes in it, or these oranges or whatever kind of fruit or potatoes or anything that you buy, you examine it, you judge it. Amen?
Amen.
You're weighing out whether you want this potato or this pear or peach or plum or whatever it is that you're buying. And like the Lord is doing that with us, because he, you know, we're fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is supposed to be in us. And if there's wormholes in you, if you're a phony, if you're in the church just sponging off of it, making a crash pad out of it, and you're actually ruining the church by not taking care of it, and so on. I went over to Jimmy Swagger's place yesterday in Baton Rouge, and I could see the place where it's just falling apart, because he'd committed adultery a couple times and went and wept and cried and begged and pled on television and saying, "Oh God, please forgive me," and all this. Then he goes right, tries to get back on the air, but nobody's buying him anymore, because his place, and you go over there now and you will buy him even less, because his place looks like it's fallen through itself. I was in New Orleans yesterday, and then on our way back, I said, "Let's get off over here. It's when we're going through Baton Rouge, and I want to see what Swaggart's place looks like, because I want to see if I know that there's something wrong." Well, he's renting out most of his buildings to government, like the health department, and then there's the sheriff department or some kind of a law enforcement agency in there. And there's buildings all over, but there's all kinds of cars parked out in front of the health department place. And he has a little office in the building. And I told Sanford to go in and see if he's there. I'd like to come in and just shake his hand. I want to meet him. Really, what I wanted to do is see what he would do if he'd be too afraid to see me, or because he figured I'd witness to him. Or what? And sure enough, Sanford came back and said, his secretary said, "Well, she's surely going to tell Jimmy Swaggart that I was there. She'll pass that information on right away, but he's out of the office now." And so we started wallpapering, and Sanford went back there and said he saw the Swaggart car. It said JS on it, Jimmy Swaggart, and it's brand new. Something Mercedes or something like that. And the cops write him off. He says, "Now, you don't put tracks on these cars here. These belong to the government. These are state cars. And I don't care what you do with his cars over here." There was only two of them, Swagger's car. And the property, the landscaping was just down to nothing. And everything would just look like real shoddy. And that's why I don't like you people who don't really take care of the property, because you really make it look as though we're failing. When people don't take care of the property, one of the things is, because you all know about Sally just letting the apartment house run through itself, and people there says, "I thought Pastor Alamo had something to do with this property, and he, I thought he was a Christian, and we've been without refrigerator, it's all broken down, the stove's here," and she never told me anything about it. As soon as I found out, I put her out of there and began buying stoves, refrigerators. We said we needed carpets, a place, and there was a whole bunch of people leaving. I mean, about 15, 20 people. You know, we can't afford that, so she was undermining the church. And then in Nashville, years before that, the people that there was holes in the building they didn't tell me about. And I'm not that kind of a guy. I'm not that kind of a Christian. I, as soon as I see something that needs repair, and whenever anybody that's of the Lord sees something that needs repair, they tell me and I get it fixed immediately. Somebody says they need a refrigerator or a stove, I get it instantly, okay? I don't wait. And if you don't do that, then you're not part of my ministry. I hope you all understand that, do you?
Yes.
Okay? Because what you're doing is looking to give the Lord a black eye. And the Lord doesn't like you, and he's measuring you every minute, and he wants me to measure you too and put the Gentiles outside. The people that don't care anything about this place, about God's work. Or if you think that I just have to support you, that you're somebody special, I don't know who taught you that stuff. But I'm going to teach you a lesson real fast. Now, I've been very patient with you, and now the Lord wants me to bring a message on the measuring here. And he says the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation talks about measuring also, to measure people in the church by the word of God. And if, you know, I've been given a lot of messages here on what you're supposed to do, and the Lord says, even in the last book of the Bible, to be zealous. And I see people just walking real slow, and they've got this real boring, placid, moony-faced, cow-eyed look on their face, like they're grazing like a bunch of cows out in the field. They're no asset to the church. I can buy secretarial services for $5 a page, and it'll be done professionally and very quickly. But anyway, you can tell that Jimmy Swaggart is down the tubes. And he was in there. He just did not want to see me. San Francisco was tracked on. And we just wallpapered all the cars over there by the electric company or the health department, whatever it was. There's all kinds of government agencies. He's just living on rent money. And I believe that the government is probably going to hit him on taxes or something real soon and take all those buildings away from him, so they can just have free rent there. Once you sin, you just keep sinning. Even after all these messages, you're far more responsible than you ever were before. And, you know, the people believe that it's just supposed to be a nice, lazy vacation home or a place for retarded people. You're wrong. The devil, seducing spirits have gotten to you, and you just can't seem to get out of their clutches. Some of you. Okay, keep going.
To measure something means to test it, to determine.
To judge it, to test it. Okay, to examine it. If some of you people don't look too healthy, then what else?
To determine whether it meets a specific standard.
Right. In this case, it's God's standard. And his standard is very strict. If you were apples, some of you people, I would never want to buy you. Would you?
No.
Huh?
No.
Okay, then what are they doing here? Then what?
Lets us know if something is the proper size, caliber, pedigree, amount, weight, height, depth, width, or breadth.
Yeah, the standard of the Lord. Then what?
Biblically speaking, measure up to God's standard and qualify for entry into heaven.
Yeah, that's what he's measuring you for, to see if he wants to possess you. And so, you know, those of you that have taken on the thing, you know, like the Baptists do, that just live your life, get on with your life, you know, this kind of stuff. And it's not biblical. You're unscriptural. Just, you know, lie and be a phony and say things that you don't really mean and all this sort of stuff. God's measuring that too. Then what else?
God measures us for the purpose of seeing whether he wants to possess us or not.
Yeah, do you ever hear any preachers preach that?
No.
I do. Okay, because it's the truth. Okay, then what?
The holy city of God is measured by God.
Right, you can say that's in the book of Revelation. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, he measures everything. He judges everything. All of God's ways are judgment, measurements, examinations. Some of you are full of wormholes, seducing spirit holes. Then what else?
The holy city of God is measured by God. This means God will possess the city.
Yeah. He measures it because he's going to possess it. And the city is composed of people that he's measured. Don't you think so?
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
Okay. Then what?
God measures everyone and everything.
Everything is measured. It states so in Job. Amen? The foundations, the pillars, the floor. Then what else?
Whatever measures up to God's standard, after he measures it, it is owned by him.
Possessed, owned by him. Amen. Okay, then what?
When we buy a car, a house, some land, we own what we measure if it measures up to what we want.
Yeah, if I go to a car, to buy a car and I want an 8-cylinder with 400, 500 horsepower, and the thing is only a 6-cylinder and it's got about 250 horsepower, it doesn't measure up to what I want. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe I want 4 or 5 double-barrel carburetors and all kinds of additions onto the vehicle. Maybe I want a supercharger. You know what that is?
No.
Anybody? Oh, you learn something new here every day at the Alamo. Supercharger is a blower that blows gas into the carburetor to make it go faster. That's an addition to a car. The police, some police or highway patrol have that on their cars. I know before I was saved, I was chased by one of them, and I was in a vehicle, and I was going about 120 to 30 miles an hour, and that thing just kept, whatever, who was coming after me was moving up on me even faster than that. They were about 2 or 3 miles. I could see them in the rear view mirror. It was at nighttime, and those lights just kept getting closer, and I was really getting spooked. And finally, the guy pulled, come on alongside of me, and I thought it was just one of these guys on the highway. There was guys on the highway that were killing people. They had a skeleton suit on and a light shining in their face, and there'd be this skull looking at them, and they'd take a .45 and blow people's brains out while they were driving alongside them. So I didn't know who that was because there wasn't any lights blinking or anything. But he came up alongside of me, and the lights started turning the lights on. I says, oh, it's just a cop. So he pulled me over, and I says, what have you got underneath that hood, man? I said, it's doing about 130. I thought you was that terrorist on the highway here. And he said, well, and that thing was just blowing like crazy. It's a supercharger, okay? You can put them on cars and go probably about 200 miles an hour if you wanted to, I suppose. Now, especially nowadays, they've got cars that go over 200 miles an hour. But anyway, so much for that. The Lord wants us to have superchargers on us. Zeal. Amen. Not slowly walking around like some half-dead cow. Okay, then, go ahead.
We buy it to own, to possess it.
That's what we do. It's like, I'll buy a car to my specifications, or a bag of fruit. You know, I look at it, examine it, judge it, measure it, measure up to my standards. If there's even one wormhole in there, I don't want the cotton picker, okay? I want to eat the apple. I don't want to buy it for worms. Amen?
Amen?
To eat. Then what?
If we want to possess 5 pounds of apples, oranges, or whatever, we measure or weigh it so we can buy it to possess it.
So that's why we weigh things. That's why we judge them and measure them, is to possess or not possess. Okay, then what? That makes sense?
Yes.
I'm glad. Then what else?
So to measure means to test, judge, and finally to own or possess it. To measure is the same as examining. Whatever we buy, we examine first to make sure the quality.
Make sure of the quality, right. Then what?
So when we are examining means we are judging and testing because we are purchasing it to possess it. As I said, in the house, the water is perpetually flowing, but we are only able to know.
The house of God, the water is perpetually, that's the church, the body of Christ, the gathering place, the home church. The water perpetually flows there because if they're really people of the Lord, they're all going to have something to say from the Lord because they're walking in the water. And they're being measured, and they know it, and they know that they have to let the Lord use them to, for the water to flow in and out of them. Amen?
Amen.
So that there can be a perpetual flow of water, a never-ending flow of water in the church. Then what?
But we are only able to know the depth of the water when we measure it.
Right. How can we know how deep the water is? Yeah, like Johnny Cash saying, how high is the water, Mama? Amen? So, well, it's 1 foot high and rising. Mama measured it and saw that it was 1 foot high and rising. Then it went up to 2 feet and it was rising. Amen? And how high is the water, Papa? And he says, she said it's 2 feet high and rising. Amen? It's good to know that because old Jimmy's got to go to school. He doesn't wind up to want to be a fool. Amen? So it's already over all the wheat and oats. Well, it's 2 feet high and rising. But how would he know that, or she know that, unless he measured it? Amen?
Amen.
So read that again.
But we are only able to know the depth of the water when we measure it.
Amen? Amen. Now do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, then what?
Before the man in verse 3 began to measure, verse 2 informs us that the waters ran out of the right side.
Right, well, everybody covered that, right? Then what?
Waters running out translates also trickles forth.
Yeah, so waters running out in Hebrew translates also that it trickles out, okay? So that you're not entirely walking on dry ground, you're walking in a trickle. Okay, then the trickle becomes ankle deep, the flow. Keep going.
After the man began to measure, the flow of the water began to increase. After the first measurement, the trickle became a flow to the ankles.
You following everything here? All right, then what?
The measure of the flow...
See, the Lord made a lot of time, spent a lot of time with this measurement business, amen?
Amen.
He does measuring all the time in the Bible. And so that people can finally come to the conclusion that the Lord is constantly measuring stuff. It says all of God's ways are judgment, amen?
Amen.
That he sees everything that's going on. And why? Because he's nosy? Yeah, because he wants only to possess that which is holy, and that is zealous, full of zeal, not laziness or a bunch of phonies that are pretending to work and that you never hear what they're doing. You know, they never tell you. And there's hardly a report from hardly anyone in the church of what they're doing. And I'm supposed to be measuring you. The Lord in me wants to measure you, and you're not reporting to me. And so I've got to believe that there's something wrong. I smell something foul and evil. Okay, go ahead.
The measure of the flow at this time hasn't been measured very deep.
No, only to the ankles. Then what?
It is the same with us. The flow possibly is not so deep within us because we haven't been measured enough by the Lord.
Right. Some people are just only got a trickle of the Lord, of the flow of the Lord in them, and some are only up to the ankles. And then there's some that are in the house of God. The Bible says, tells us about those that dine and you know, feast with you and everything, and they're not real. He warns about false brethren. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
But their works are horrible. They don't have good works. It's evil, undermining the church. Evil type people that take everything that God says as lightly. It's like just some story to hear. Okay, then what?
We have been measured very little. You may praise God because you are in the church. And
see, if you go down into the valley, the shadow of death, or you go through prison, you're being measured there. Well, how is he going to react when he goes clear down, he loses his wife, all kinds of people in the church turn on him, and then all kinds of people cause everything that he worked for to to be taken away, how's he going to do? Is he going to continue on in the Lord? Lord, I realize that he's measuring me every second of the day. And then after he gets all the property back, and then he goes to prison for something he didn't do, it, and on based on a bunch of lies that people that he's won to the Lord and or thought he did, and paid for their children to be born, and got homes for them, and fed them, clothed them, housed them, paid for their utilities, their cars, got different places of business where they wanted to work because they didn't want to work in the world for somebody else. The Lord is measuring me all the time. Then I get all the stuff back for them and make it, try to make it beautiful, and they just keep trying to trash it out. What, may I ask you, shall the Lord do to a person like that? So miserably destroy him is what he's going to do, because you can't say that you're stupid, you don't know these things, because you've had too many messages. And some people just keep getting worse and worse. The more messages, the more lack of hope they have, because they just don't want to change, they don't want to repent. They just want to keep getting worse and worse, because they've lost all hope. In their own hearts, they don't say, oh God, now I realize I've been such a beast for not doing these things and being a phony. There's people that are living in big houses in this church that don't do that much to deserve it. They could have never lived in the kind of places they're living out in the world. They'd be in the poorhouse or in some junky neighborhood in some shotgun shack, if even that. Okay, then what?
You may praise God because you are in the church and declare yourself to be in the house of God.
Yeah, you might say, oh, praise the Lord, I'm in the church, I'm in the house of God. Then what?
You might say that I have the flow.
Yeah, that you're such a, you're very anointed, I have the flow. Yeah, but how much of the flow? Have you measured your wicked self? How much? How much of God's work is being produced, God, that God is producing through you? Zilch. Nothing. Well, I don't believe the Lord's in you then. I don't believe you're in the house of God or in the flow of the Lord. I mean, if I measure you the way I measure myself, I'd say, huh, there's nothing there with some of you. And you think that you're a phony, then I don't know it. Well, I could read the phony ones right off to you just without even saying anything. But I'm not going to do that. All of you people know who the phonies are. And if you think you know, don't you think I know more? And if I know, then don't you think the Lord knows?
Yes.
Okay? You're not knocking yourself out for the Lord. Now, if you was to go out in the world and go to real nice places to eat, and if you were, the Lord let you party, man, you'd stay up 2, 3, 4 nights in a row to just be at the party, or to do whatever you want to do. That you'd do with glee and with a smile on your face. And when it comes to serving the Lord, there's just no zeal whatsoever. That means that you're just a stinking user, according to the Lord, okay? He is very careful about who he lets into the kingdom of heaven. These Baptists and Catholics, they just say, oh, we're going in, we're in the house of God, we read and pray. I'm not sure that you do that. I mean, I don't see any evidence in some of you of doing, of being a, doing a zealous work for the Lord. Do you?
No.
No. Well, you've been saying that for years. I see a lot of people that like to go outside and play. I like to see go and talk with each other and laugh and joke. Like to joyride on the Lord's money. Like to ask for all types of things on the needs list that you don't really need. But then you say to a person that's really doing something for the Lord, how come you have that and I don't? The Lord makes a difference. He says the people that don't do anything, he takes what you have away from you and gives it to the person that's really doing something. Amen?
Amen.
If you had one talent and you're not using it, And another guy has 10 talents and he's using it and multiplying it. He's going to take the talent away from you and give it to the person that really is doing something for the Lord and with the Lord. Now, I'm showing you the way the Lord really thinks, not the way you do. Some of you got your mouth open like you're surprised. And you do that all the time. It's like you're shocked because you are with the Lord. You're not really with the Lord. It just shocks you to hear, what is this? What kind of teaching is this? What is this? It's manna, the bread of life. That's what this is, all right? But you don't seem to want to eat it, some of you. Okay, now keep going.
You might even have the flow, but what is the kind of flow you have?
Mm-hmm.
What sort of flow are you in? Is your flow a trickle or to the ankles? All of us need to be measured by the man of brass.
Yeah, he's the man of judgment. And I told you before that brass signifies judgment, measurement, weighing, examining, whether you like it or not. You're being judged by the man of brass. And you're going to give him a sorry look and think he's going to feel sorry for you. He's not going to change his judgment, you idiot. He ain't like you. He's the exact opposite of you. He means what he tells you. Now he tells me to be patient. Well, the Lord was patient too. You know, Peter denied him 3 times. But Peter repented, you know, after he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He wanted to do something for the Lord. Anything, die upside down, whatever. Just I want to be with you eternally. I don't want to go to hell. I'm going to knock myself out for you. And just in hopes that I'm going to get into the kingdom of heaven, because if the righteous scarcely make it into the kingdom of heaven, where do you people that are shot full of holes think you're going to be? That have no zeal, no gusto, no pride in what you do, no concern about human souls or what kind of a testimony this church is to the others out there in the world. I went through the Jimmy Swaggart thing and I could just see it was falling through itself, and that all he's living on is a very meager rent money. And the taxes on that place have got to be staggering. If he even makes enough money to pay the taxes on it, if he doesn't, they're going to come in and grab it on him, the whole thing. And he's wasted hundreds of millions of dollars of people's tithes and offerings and destroyed it all by his rotten, filthy testimony. And I cannot allow people to stay in this church if you're going to try to make me look like Jimmy Swaggart or slothful like you. I don't want to look like you. Okay, then what?
The Lord Christ is the one who measures, the one who is the tester, the one who possesses.
Yeah, he's the one who's eventually going to possess you or give you over to the devil so that he can possess you. You be possessed by the devil. And some of you, I believe, already are. Then what else?
The measurement one, the testing one, the one who possesses, wants to come in to measure us.
He wants to come in you, to measure you. You want to let him do that today? Huh?
Yes.
You don't act very positive. Say, hey, amen, I want you to measure me, Lord. I don't want to be weighed in the balances upon one. I don't want to be ignorant to what I'm doing if I'm doing anything wrong. What profit is there in that? That's like a... I know that ostriches don't really hide their head in the sand, but you know, like the way they say an ostrich is, to hide their head in the sand and then wake up in hell. I don't want that to happen to me. So I want him to come in and examine me. And he is. He always does. He lets me know what to do. And I obey him. I obey him. Not you. Because I'm not called to obey you. It's sluggard, slothful, swine. Some of you people, you think that I'm here to obey you. you're crazy. You're measured by the Lord, and I'm waiting for His command. But that's what you should be doing, don't you think?
Yes.
The Bible says so, whether you think it or not, that's the way it really is. Okay, then what?
We must invite Him to judge us, to test us, that He may possess us.
Yeah, don't you want the Lord to examine you?
Amen.
Yes. Well, then let Him do it. It's best that you know what you are now, amen?
Amen.
So you can do something about it?
Yes.
Because where there's life, there's still some hope, amen?
Amen.
But you don't know that you're going to live past tomorrow or today. So you better get with it. Okay, then what else?
You may think you have consecrated everything on the altar. The Lord wants to measure us.
Yeah, consecrating everything on the altar is you're no longer yourself. You're no longer a slob or lazy. You've got the fire of the Lord in you. Amen?
Amen.
You're being roasted in a pan. You don't do what you want to do or just lounge around. The Lord is not that way. He doesn't just walk around, you know, like homosexuals or lesbians. He's on the move. He was busy healing people all day long, making a rope and beating them out of the temple where they were sinning. He's busy, all right? And He's busy working in many people. How many will be determined after the last measurement, after the possession. We'll see how many He wants to possess after the last measurement. Okay, then what?
He desires to test and examine us. After His measurement standard, the waters increase.
Right, after you are measured up to the ankles and He sees that you're walking all right, then He wants you to get into the water more, amen? To shed more of you and take in more of Him. Amen?
Amen.
Take on more responsibility and believe that He's able to give you the power to be able to do the things that He determines for you to do, that He judges that you should do. And you can see in the Word what He wants us to do. Amen?
Amen.
That's no mystery, especially if you don't read about it. I'm telling you about it, all right? So that there's no excuse. That's why Jimmy Swagger didn't want to see me yesterday. Because he figures, you know, once he knows something, then he's going to be responsible. And deep down, he knows what he is, on the surface and deep down. Then what?
Once again, the man of brass measured 1,000 cubits, and the waters came to the knees, verse 4. The more we are measured, tested, judged, and examined, the more you are possessed by the Lord.
Yeah, the more you know that He's interested in you, you know? God, if He wasn't testing me, judging me all the time, I'd think, God, He's lost interest in me. I mean, if I'm looking at an apple, you know, and I go like this and throw it in the bag, or, you know, then I look at it later when I get home and there's a wormhole in it, I'm just going to throw it in the trash. Right?
Right.
Or some conservative people that don't mind a worm or two, probably just eat it because it's got extra meat in there, you know. No extra charge for the meat. Or they just cut that wormhole out and hope that they got it all. Okay? So I'm happy when the Lord is judging me. Amen?
Amen.
Because He's looking at me and looking at me from all different angles like that. Shows that He's still interested in possessing me. Amen?
Amen.
I want Him to say, I can feel Him judging me and examining me. So praise the Lord. It's a good feeling. Because it's a feeling of being wanted. Amen. Somebody says with it like a squeak of a mouse, amen, amen, amen. Like you're not quite sure if they really want the Lord to examine. Well, you must be crazy. The Lord wants us all to completely on the altar. He wants to see if you're totally consecrated. You've given your entire life on the altar. Whatever, Lord, you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to say, just tell me and I'll say it. Lord, you want me to rebuke Pat Boone? They're not going to call me unless it's a miracle. Call me and I guarantee you, Lord, I will get up there and blast him right off the map. with verbally. And he called me right up after Pat Boone, and I let him have it. And his wife and kids started coming to our church right after that because they admired what I did. He didn't come. She did. Shirley Boone and the kids. Okay, then what?
The more we are measured, tested, judged, and examined, the more you are possessed by the Lord and the deeper the flow becomes.
Yeah, the more you know you're possessed by the Lord. You're still possessed by Him. And you have to keep that going until you're actually in heaven, right, for eternity. If you're not concerned on a daily basis, that means that there's something terribly wrong with you. You really don't have enough sense to want to be in heaven. I mean, if you are not wanting to be examined every day and judged by the Lord, the Bible says to judge ourselves, you know, with the Word of God, to see if we're going to make it. And if there's some impediment, something that we're doing wrong, that we have still have some time here to change that. Okay?
Yeah.
So if you go to hell, it's your own fault. Because you're just so empty-headed and empty-minded and aloof, stupid, whatever you want to call it, satanic. But you don't even care if you go to hell. You don't believe God that it's as bad as He says that He is. And heaven isn't as good as He says it is. This is, you don't have any faith. That's what the flowing is faith. Yeah?
Amen.
Okay, that's the most precious thing on the face of this earth, faith in His power to keep you going. Under these conditions, though, you have to measure, let Him measure you every day. That involves you, too. You work together. Okay, what else?
The third time of measuring by the man of brass in Ezekiel 47 brings the level of water to the loins, verse 4. This is a much deeper flow. You may be in the church and in the flow, but how much have you been tested by the Lord? How much have you been judged by the Lord?
See, a lot of people thought that they knew everything about the Lord, you know. And you just get a few messages, that's how cocky and satanically stupid people are. There's like thousands and thousands of messages that I haven't brought to you yet, that the Lord hasn't used me to bring to you yet. And there's hundreds of them that I know of that you haven't heard. And you shouldn't just, you just should be obedient and quit trying to think you're so smart. Amen?
Amen.
You don't have to be smart to be obedient, okay? You have to be spiritually wise, amen? Fear of the Lord, that's all. But don't be thinking you're smart because really you're not. And it wouldn't make any difference if you were or not because it's obedience that the Lord wants. I don't care how smart you be because all of man's wisdom put together is stupid in the eyes of the Lord. So you are nothing, amen?
Amen.
Then what?
You may be in the church and in the flow, but how much have you been tested by the Lord? How much have you been judged by the Lord? How much have you allowed the Lord to take possession of you? The Lord examines us by measuring us. The Lord is going to test us to possess us if we measure up and examine us to see if we are worth possessing. His desire is to measure everything concerning us.
Right, if He's not measuring you, judging you, then He's probably dropped you like a hot potato because He sees you're not interested in anything He says. And you're not really interested in bettering yourself or so that you're a testimony for the Lord. He might have dropped you because it seems like a lot of people are not under conviction or they don't have any desire to excel because if you're really in the Lord, you're like a walking miracle. There's so many things coming out of you that's from the Lord that you're like a wonder to people. But are you a wonder? No, you're less. Some of you people are less than the people that are out in the world that never even knew the Lord, never even heard about Him. There's no excelling or anything like that. There's like months behind on some deals here today that I was talking about that I told them to do months ago, even a year ago, and they still didn't do it. And so I don't see any zeal or fear of God in people like that. You just like, you don't care whether the place is lost or not, because you're not smart enough to know it until you hit the streets. You're out on the streets sleeping in a car or on a toilet seat in a gas station someplace. You just don't have that much foresight. Okay, then what?
His desire is to measure everything concerning us, including all the small things.
And there's nothing, you know, the tiny things that you overlook. The Lord said if he can't trust you with the little things, he can't trust you with the big things. Everything is important to me, for sure. Detail. Then what else?
He wants to measure our attitude, the way we take care of his money, the way we spend our time, and our conduct. You can praise God by saying so and say, I am in the home church, but you have to pass the test.
Yeah, you have to be judged. So you're sitting in the church, so what? You have to be judged and pass the test. All kinds of people sitting in churches, so what? Then what?
The test everyone must pass is not a test of man, but the test is the Lord's test.
Yeah, he's the one who's testing. You know, he doesn't care whether you measure up to me. You don't even measure up, some of you, to man, an inferior man. But he's not inferior at all. He's extremely superior to everything and everybody, and he wants you to measure up to him. You have to be just like, you have to measure up to be just like him. There's people that lie, and they habitually lie. They're busy bodies. You think they're measuring up to the Lord?
No.
No, they're measuring up to the devil. I measure that person as of the devil. They're presumptuous. They think they're somebody, you know. And, of course, they don't meet God's standards at all. They meet the standard of going to hell. Then what?
The Lord is the man of brass. He is the one holding the measuring reed.
Yeah, and you're not going to change him. So, well, praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and I'm going to try to get some more of this done. We got to get into the swimming next, okay? Praise the Lord. Lord bless you. Bye.